Sometimes we don't always see and remember that even the littlest person in God's kingdom is big to Him. Isn't that true? Thank God for each and every one of those children. We've been talking about community this whole month, and we've been praying, and I've been asking you to offer a daily prayer about our church and about your life and about ways that God can use the Hillcrest family for the city of Abilene. And we are continuing. I'm so excited about today as we continue this discussion and as we continue this prayer of asking God to lead us in this movement beyond our walls here and into our neighborhoods, and to talk very specifically about how to love our Abilene neighbors. How to love our Abilene neighbors. Something really bad turned into something really good in the fall. Something really bad was a Hurricane Harvey that just devastated the Texas coastline. There was some loss of life. There was a lot of people who lost their homes. Still, there are many people in South Texas who are living without their home. A lot of people are living only in parts of their home. And many of you have people that you know and people that you love who are still kind of recovering, right? And are coming out of those circumstances. It was very, very devastating, very costly. Something that was very good, though, that happened in the midst of all of that climate chaos, all of that weather chaos that happened. Did you notice the way that people came together during that time? I don't know if you're like me, but I heard a lot of these stories, even from my parents. So my parents evacuated from their house, and eventually they ended up in Abilene, but before they were able to get out of the city, they had to stay with somebody who had a house that had access to food and water and all of those things. And they told me about what it was like in the neighborhood where they were staying and how people came out of their homes. They were drawn out whenever this happened to see and talk to people that they maybe some of them had been living around the same neighbors for years, maybe even decades, and maybe, you know, a lot of times we wave, "Hey neighbor," and that's about as, you know, a lot of life is busy, you're running here and running there and raising our families and doing all these different things. And it's not sometimes until we have these dramatic interruptions that we actually stop and pause because we have to. We had snow days this week. You had to stop doing what you were normally doing right on Wednesday and Thursday. And maybe for some of us that was very uncomfortable because we felt like we needed to be going and doing something, and God just kind of dropped the snow on us, right? And snow in Abilene means everything's got to stop. When all that rain happened and the flooding was happening, people couldn't go to work. People couldn't, many of them weren't able to do their usual, all those routines changed. And they saw their neighbors and they saw people in need. Many of them opened their doors and welcomed their neighbors who didn't have access or didn't have a home that was above water. And you heard of this, where whole neighborhoods where a family who had a home or had the necessities just welcomed people in. This idea, this concept, this is something that God really does do, doesn't He? God really does draw us out. I want us to look at this text again, and I love getting to hear the different languages this month. Thank you so much, Eleazar, for reading our French, and for Phil for that. If you bring up that text of Matthew 22 there, Jesus is responding to this question about what's the most important. I almost feel like this was from a teenager. I'm raising teenage boys right now. Heather and I are. And I just need, here's the question. I want to know the least that's required. I want to know what, don't ask me to read the Bible. Give me the Cliff's Notes. And Jesus actually obliges very well here, because in verse 40 of 22 he says, all the prophets, all the law and the prophets. If Jesus actually does this for you, if you need to have that kind of focus, Jesus says, let me tell you what it's all about. It comes down to two things. Really, it's one thing. And he does something great. He answers the question of what's the greatest commandment by actually giving two. And he goes to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and he goes to a very familiar Jewish text called the Shema. And no doubt he was not surprised to hear this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. But then Jesus inserts a word. He says, this is the greatest commandment. And then he says, and he puts, he doesn't stop. I'm sure, I bet that the one who asked was thinking, great, and maybe he was even starting to turn and go, well, thank you for answering that. But Jesus goes, and the second is like it. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. God knows us very well as human creatures that we are. We're very habitual. We're very much kind of gravitate towards familiarity. This morning you saw that happen when you chose where you were going to sit, right? This is my spot. These are my people. This is my side, that's their side, right? And then we have the strange ones who are of two minds here, right? They can't decide. They're in the middle. No. We just kind of gravitate. We find ourselves doing that all the time, even unconsciously. We kind of gravitate towards those comfortable spaces and places. And I know for many of us, even though Jesus' words and the calling of Deuteronomy 6:5 to love the Lord your God with all, the all statement, right, is a huge commandment. But I think that Jesus knows how much we would feel comfortable just staying in that part of the great commandment. Because truthfully, God is much easier to get along with. He's the most patient. He's the most kind. He's the very definition of love. Why does Jesus complicate things and say, and this is also a part of it? You cannot do the first one. You can't truly love God if you can't love God's people, God's children, the people that He made, the one that He loves. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, Jesus, right? What have you done to us? I think in the same way that we saw that kind of happen with Harvey and other interruptions like that, God has this passage in Scripture, and Jesus makes sure that we do not ignore it by setting it up right here at the very top and telling us, and this is everything. To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. If it was just to love the Lord your God, then all we could focus on, or all we'd have to focus on, are just these internal moments of devotion and worship. All life would just be about Sunday, right? All life would just be Sunday if Jesus just gave us love the Lord your God with the all statement, right? We come and we give Him our all. We come and we give Him our prayer. We come and we give Him our focus and our attention. But Jesus says, that's incomplete and it's hollow unless, and He draws us out unless we go beyond our circles and share what God has given us with everybody else. And then Jesus does something even more wonderful here. He illustrates, because it would be easy for me to walk away from this verse still and say, okay, I got it. I need to love my neighbor as well. I understand what you're saying here, Jesus. But then Jesus tells this powerful story that we read just a little bit ago. I want to go to Matthew 25 right now and see this. And I know, if you want to know the end, so we get a summary in 22 about what the life of faith is about, and then we get the end here. What does a life look like that has lived out this teaching of Jesus? What does the greatest commandment look like when it's lived out? And Jesus elaborates here. And notice verse 34 as He starts to describe this. What will a person do? All the world here comes down to this. Verse 35, it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And I love verse 37. They're shocked. "Jesus, I don't remember you coming over. I don't even know what you're talking about. I think you must be confused. You've been around a lot of people. Some of them have been sick. Maybe you are a little under the weather. When? When did we see you? When did we see you hungry or thirsty? When were you a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison?" And could anything have prepared them for what Jesus says next in verse 40? We have this divine revelation where Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, it was me." It's ironic, isn't it? We, as Christians, look for Jesus and we come here and we sing and we even pray sometimes, "God, I just want to be nearer to you." And the irony that's in this text is Jesus shows up in the places that we usually try so hard to avoid. We would much rather be walled in from those who are struggling. And lo and behold, Jesus says, "But that's exactly where I am. I'm there. I am that stranger." I'm very excited this morning. You know, we've been praying about some opportunities that God could have for our church, and I want to share with you and call some guests up this morning. You've heard some about the work that Darren Cox has been doing. I want to invite Darren and Emily Cole up here as well right now. Some of you probably remember it was about a year ago that Darren spoke to our church, and he told a story. He told a story about his work. Darren, for those of you who may not realize, Darren is the homeless liaison for Abilene ISD, and a lot of us don't necessarily know what that means, Darren, but I'm going to retell just a story, and then I'm going to ask you a question in just a second. But Darren told a story to us last year that very much opened our eyes, as he told the story of a student who was on the bus and each day would get on the bus and literally walk from one classmate to another, another fellow bus rider to another, and say, can I go home? Can I stay with you tonight? Am I remembering that right, Darren? Is that correct? That's a true story.
Hey, you said you weren't going to hand me the mic.
Uh-oh.
It is. And, you know, ever since then, I've had story after story after story. I've come to Hillcrest more than once. I've been to the community, and we're standing up, and it's just been incredible.
Yeah, and so many of you are pretty familiar now. Darren's got, we've had several donations, clothes, shoes, socks, things like that. And many of you, I hope some of you have had a chance to come down and do some of the work there with Darren at where all of your clothes and remind me real quick where that's at, Darren.
My office is at 241 Pine Street. My fortress that I keep clothes and everything is in the basement. And those of you that have come down and helped me sort clothes, sort shoes, everything else, I thank every one of you. And for those that had planned to come down, I thank all of you for that too. You know, one of the things going back to that, when I stood up here and just first introduced, this is what we're trying to do. And I don't know if any of you remember that or not, but one of the biggest things I said was, here, I'm the homeless liaison. I'm supposed to take care of families. I'm supposed to take care of kids. And the only thing I can't provide is a home.
Yep. 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 Which is why we have Emily here today. It's been a great thing to watch. Darren's work has grown so much and are helping so many students, and has been a tremendous, tremendous difference maker for the students in our community. But we weren't able to answer that question, and we were scratching our heads. What can we do? We can help them in the classroom. What do we do when they leave the classroom? Emily, tell us about Safe Families. So Emily Cole is the director of Safe Families.
Safe Families is a program that's been around for 15 years nationwide. we are very blessed that Larry Gill of the Dodge Jones Foundation became aware of that and reached out to some people and said, hey, we need this. We need this in our community. There's more than 1,200 technically homeless youth just right here in Abilene. And so he started working on this project more than 3 years ago. And as of September the 1st, all the laws were passed and everything that was needed to be put into place has been accomplished. Huge thanks to him. And so what Safe Families is it's the opportunity to love your neighbor. It is providing a safe housing situation for the ones who don't have it. What we have found is that often a family is in crisis and they don't know where to go and they don't know where to turn. Many of you in here can think of two or three people right off the top of your head. If crisis hit your house, you know who you would call. These people don't have that. And so they start spiraling downward, because if they do have someone that they can call, oftentimes those people are in worse positions than they are themselves. And so that's where we come in. We step in, we wrap our arms around this family. We provide safe shelter for the children that are in the family, and then we send church members, volunteers, we send social workers to provide support to the family, to the guardians of these children. And the entire concept is to build community around this family so that when trouble comes again, because we always know that it will, they know who to call, and they have a support system that can help them through it, and it deters these children from going into a foster care setting.
Yeah, I think this is incredible, and something that has been neat for me to watch is, it was about a year ago when Darren, when you really opened our eyes, a lot of us just didn't realize that we had so many students in our own city that were classified as homeless, that were dealing with a lot of these crises, and but even more so that we actually have we have students who do not know do not have a regular residence, do not have a place that they're going to be able to stay, and so we have an opportunity now as a church, don't we, Emily?
Yes, you definitely have an opportunity. It's a ministry. It's something that you feel led to do. The really exciting thing about this is that you can get involved at any level that you want to. So if you want to start small and you think, hey, I can't really take in a child into my home, but I can cook a meal and I can support a family who is taking those children in, or I could help with laundry because the laundry piles up a little faster. You can get started at that level all the way to the top if you're that person that says, I'm all in. And the thing that I love about this, I have two children, a 9-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter, and I am a host home for these littles. And the thing that I love about this is that my son is learning. He's learning how to share. He's learning compassion. He's asking these questions of, why don't they have a home? What do you mean they're hungry? Why are their tummies always growling? And so it opens up that opportunity to really share with my children, you know, what the realities of this world and how they can help.
And I need to mention as well, we have some, if you are already partnered with what Darren is doing and in the training process with Emily, will you stand up, please, so we can see you? I want to point you out this morning. Jack Hardcastle and others, and we have some that are standing over at the table over there. I mention this to you to see these people right now, because we already have some who are involved with what Darren is doing and what Emily is leading us towards in the city of Abilene as well. And we should mention about this that this is the first, am I remembering that right, Emily? In the state of Texas, Abilene is the first city to start the Safe Family program.
Absolutely. So you as Hillcrest, as a church, get to be a part of a movement that is expected to move across the state of Texas, but you guys get to create the footprint right here and right now.
I mean, this is just incredible. You know, some of you have been praying and asking, what is it that I can be doing? And it could be that God is touching your heart. It could be that God is touching your heart to be a host family to children, students right here in Abilene, Texas, who are needing a safe place to be. And it could be for a short time and just for a season, so that stability can come in to a family's life. But as Emily mentioned as well, that may also be an overwhelming thought to think, I can't imagine having a child in my house or a teenager in my house. But we're talking about needs of what, Emily? We have needs of transportation.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we have needs of... I'll just mention a few of these things to you. Obviously, the first need is we need homes. We need homes, safe homes, for children in the city of Abilene to be able to live. Other needs that you may feel more inclined to do, there's helping, such as babysitting, giving respite care, mentoring. Transportation is a big thing, isn't it?
It's huge.
Transportation is really big, so that might be one of the ways that you can make sure that students are getting to where they need to go, making sure that they're able to get to class, making sure that they're able to get to and fro those regular activities of a child's life. Tutoring, being a home visitor, cleaning. So there's several different things. Spiritual encouragement and mentoring. So I just want to encourage, and prayer is also on there as well. In just a little bit, we're going to have our invitation that we usually offer, and we usually have it as an opportunity to respond for prayer, and we are going to have that this morning as well. But the other thing I want to invite you to this morning is while we have Emily and Darren here with us and those that are working with them, you see their table over there. I can see Beth Pope right now from where I'm sitting. If you do feel God leading you to help with this, please go to that table over there in just a little bit and find out about what you can do. You can sign up today. If you feel led to be a host home, a host family for for youth in our community, please go to that table and sign up. We do have a training that's going to be coming up. So everyone who gets involved with this, there's training and there's a process here to this. And we're going to have one coming up March 7th.
March 7th.
All right. Here on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And you can get more details about that as well from coming and being with them. Is there anything else that we're needing to mention?
The only other thing that I would add is that you may ask yourself, well, how old are the children that need help? What we've discovered nationally is that the average age of children who need to be placed in a home is 5 years old. The average stay in your home is 42 days. So sometimes it's just for a week or two, and sometimes it's for a period of several months. And you, as the volunteer, get to tell me what you're comfortable with and what you have capacity for. So I would never place a child who needs to stay for 4 months in your home if you really only have capacity for 1 or 2 weeks. That doesn't set anyone up for success. And the other thing that I will tell you is that this model has been proven so effective that when the church really gets behind this and we are able to place children in these homes and work towards the crisis, 96% of these children who are at risk of going into foster care system do not go into the foster care system. In fact, they never touch it again.
Wow. Yeah. So the goal here is that students will have, during crisis or during whatever transition is going on, that they will have a safe place to be able to go, a stable situation. And then as the parent or the guardian, as their situation becomes more stable, then the child will be able to be reinserted back into the family. So this really is a community work. This really is neighbors helping neighbors. It's not, you won't be, like Emily said, you won't be left on your own to try to see how you do raising a child. This is a supporting team network here. And what you see up here are the two halves of a prayer of helping a child's life, helping them in the classroom with the needs and with the resources that they need, from clothes and supplies and all of those different things, to what they have when they leave the classroom, a safe home and a stable home and a loving family to be able to support them during a time of need. I want us to have a prayer right now for this ministry and for Emily and for Darren. So let's bow together. Let's pray together. Father, we just ask your blessings on this very, very important work. We are so thankful for Emily and Darren and their passion for youth, their passion for children. And God, we just pray that you would help us to support what they're doing. Lord, we know that you love and care for every child in our community. You care for all people in our community, no matter what struggles they're going through. So God, I pray that you would help us to have open hearts, to be attentive, Lord, to ways that we can serve you by caring for our neighbors, and specifically the students here in our city. God, would you bless this work? Let your hands lead and support it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to let them go right now. And I'm going to invite you as we close this time of being in God's Word. You know, sometimes we spend time in Scripture and we don't always know, well, that was a good sermon. Where can I go? I'll just go back into my life and go on like as things were before. Please, I am asking you from the bottom of my heart, please, please be praying for the children in our city. And please be open to listening to God speaking to you. And it may be that He's asking you to help by inviting the stranger in. It may be that He's asking you to help by giving support in other ways. He may need you to be a driver or a mentor. or just an additional hands in supporting those who can be a host home or a spiritual prayer partner in this work. This is a fantastic gift that God has given us to love our neighbors right here in Abilene, Texas. It may be as well that you are here this morning and you are the neighbor amongst us that is needing the encouragement of our God. We do want to offer that this morning, let you know we have shepherds that are here this morning that will pray with you. If you have needs that are heavy on your heart, you can meet them right now. If you feel led to become a part of the Safe Family Program, please go see our table over here to my left. Let's stand together. Let's sing.